Cardinal George Pell is expected to appear at a committal hearing this morning in Melbourne's Magistrate Court. The Cardinal faces multiple historical sex abuse charges resulting from an investigation by the Victorian Police Task Force SANO. He strenuously denies any wrongdoing. But to both his supporters and detractors, Cardinal George Pell was a towering figure who fundamentally changed the Catholic world. Barney Schwartz is a senior fellow at the Centre for Public Christianity. He was the religion editor at The Age for many years. He's speaking with Noel Debien.
George Pell was the first Australian to be on the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which is the theological watchdog for the Vatican.
Formerly known as the Inquisition in ancient times.
Indeed. But he got to know the head of the congregation, later Pope Benedict XVI, who was Joseph Ratzinger, and he was a powerful and influential friend.
So we're talking about a direct line to the man who became Pope. There was a personal relationship already established.
That's correct, and I believe that Cardinal Pell was also on the radar of the previous Pope, John Paul II, because he was exactly the sort of strong, muscular, determined, orthodox, authoritarian Catholic that John Paul II was himself.
Now, that, of course, meant that Pope Benedict was willing to come to Australia in 2008 with 400,000 pilgrims, I think.
Yes. World Youth Day was one of the biggest events that Australia's ever held. The media were sort of in boxes hundreds of metres away, and between us and the platform which Pope and the Cardinal Pell and 25 other cardinals were celebrating, it was just a solid mass of people.
And then Cardinal Pell becomes head of Vatican finance. What's the significance of that role?
The very qualities that got George Pell to become a cardinal, those qualities of drive and determination and the combative, pugnacious personality that refused to be beaten, that was exactly what Pope Francis was looking for in somebody to tackle the Curia, which is notoriously difficult, labyrinthine, highly political. Pope Francis wanted somebody from outside, as it were, who could come in and, if I can mix my classical allusions, clean the Augean stables, which George Pell started doing very well.
When it comes down to it, though, it's not only about this extraordinary leader with strength and drive who has really gone almost to the top and who is, of course, papabile himself. If the Pope died, he could be elected Pope. It's entirely possible. But you've also mentioned the other side of Cardinal Pell, that he was determined to crush dissent in the church. What are some examples of what you mean?
Talk to any of the priests who were at seminary with him. Most of them were progressive. They had entered the church around the time of Vatican II. They'd come in with hope of reform and a new openness. And George Pell, as auxiliary bishop and then archbishop, did not agree with that. He ended careers, he moved people, he just ensured that dissent was not allowed to flourish.
Barney Schwartz, can I ask you about the uniquely Melbourne response to clerical and sexual abuse? How factual is it to say he was the first Australian bishop to take action?
Well, it is accurate to say he was the first to actually introduce something. He wasn't the first to take action because the Bishops' Conference had been working for many years on the national protocol called Towards Healing. And so when he became the first, he caused outrage and fury among the other bishops because he ended the prospect of a truly national response. He said he did it because he wanted to help the victims, and I do not doubt that that was part of the motivation. But there seem, as is so often the case in human affairs, there were other motives as well. And I think more importantly was protecting the institutional church. For example, he capped payments at $50,000 that later rose to $75,000, whereas Towards Healing has no cap. It did give redress to a lot of people who had no other chance. For example, if the priest who abused them had died, there would have been no recourse through the courts. But now there was some possibility of action.
The Cardinal has returned voluntarily to Australia. The court has begun proceedings. What do you take from his voluntary return? He took leave. The Pope gave him leave. What significance do you see in that?
It's very evident that he is determined to fight these charges. He has, as we all know, denied them repeatedly. He did not come back for the last hearing of the Royal Commission and got enormous criticism for that. But he is here. I think he could do no less, and I think he would want to do no other. The difficult times for him undoubtedly lie ahead.
Barney Schwartz from the Centre for Public Christianity speaking with Noel Debien, and you can hear more of that interview on the Religion and Ethics Report with Noel this afternoon at 5:30 here on RN or wherever you get your podcasts.